Today's shiur is dedicated for Zchus for Refuah Shleima for Shalom ben Bracha. Today's shiur is Masechta in the Daram Daf Chav Hei, and we will begin in Mitzvah Shem and Daf Chav Hei Amar Aleph, on the second line, the Aldata. We've been discussing Nidrei Havoi, and when is something considered a Nidrei Havoi, a meaningless nether, an exaggerated nether, and when is it not considered a Nidrei Havoi? And the Gemara asked yesterday that maybe when somebody said Ka'olim Mitzrayim, it should not be 600,000 people, it should not be considered a Nidrei Havoi. Because the Gemara suggested that maybe it ought to be considered that he was referring to ants, not to people. And to see 600,000 ants is obviously not so unheard of. That was the Gemara's question. So the Gemara said that when a person makes a shvua, he doesn't make a shvua based on what he thinks is the way it should be expressed. When he makes a shvua, he makes it the way we express. And when we say Oile Mitzrayim, we don't think about ants. When we say Oile Mitzrayim, we obviously think about people. It says the Gemara, is that true? Vadata the nafshele ovet inish the mishtaba. Do people not make shvuas based on what they mean? Vatanya. The Brisa teaches us that the halacha is that if somebody is moid of a mixus, if he admits to part of the claim, the halacha is that midaraisa, he has to make a shvua. And the halacha is kishimish binoisai, because the person says ki huzeh, when the pasuk teaches us in Parashas Mishpatim that a person makes a partial admission to a claim against him, the pasuk says v'nikra v'alabayis elohim im le'shalach yadai, that he has to make a shvua. So when we make him swear, ever imrim loy, we tell him, havel yedea, you should be aware, shloy al tanai belipcha anay mishbin aysach. When you're going to say something, it's not what you think, what you want to say, el al datenu valdaz bezdin. It's based on what bezdin means and what the way most Rishonim explain, al datenu means what we bezdin mean with the shvua, while das bezdin means what they mean with the shvua in the bezdin shamala. But what's relevant to our discussion is that we see that when a person makes a shvua, the shvua is made unless it's expressly indicated that the shvua is being made al datenu val das bezdin, that the shvua is being made on what we mean with the shvua and not what you mean with the shvua would not be considered a valid shvua. So the question that the Gemara is posing is, why over here is it considered a valid shvua? And why can't we say that he meant ants? Lafukemai, what do we have to say this? Lav lafukei, the reason we have to do this, dapikle laskundri, because he's going to take little pieces of wood, the way the Rishonim explain it, these were pieces of wood that children would play with. V'asiklon shman zuzi, and he's going to say that these pieces of wood should be called money, and he'll say what will now will be an honor shvur. He'll say that what I meant was the small pieces of wood should be the what I'm obligated to give you, and it'll be a valid shvur that he won't have lied. Says the Gemara. So mid the Kama, the fact that Bezna goes out of its way to say al datenu, mechlal David inish the mishtata data the nafshe, and that's why Bezna has to make the shvua this way to prevent any problems. Says the Gemara, loy lafuke mekanya derava. The reason Bezdin makes him make the shvua that way is for a different concern altogether, and that's the concern of what happened in the story of Rava. And the Gemara tells us what happened. The Hu Gavra Davamakva B'Chavei Rezuzei. Somebody came and made a claim to someone else that you owe me money. Also Kamei de Rava. And this Dintaira, the Malva, came to Rava. Vamalei, and the Malva said to Rava, Zilparali, pay me what you owe me. Amalei, and the Loiva said to the Malva, Praticha, I already paid you. There's a machloikus rishonim, hard to understand what the loiva said to the malva. There's some Rishonim that explain that what he said, Paraticha, he meant to say this way, the Rand learns, I paid you part of the loan. And since he said, I paid you part of the loan, as we've been learning in our Shiurim, when somebody says that he paid part of the loan, what he say, he's chayiv, as we just said, moedim amixis. He has to pay partially for what he said. That is the way some explain this Gemara. Others explain this Gemara that when he said praticha, he said that I paid you the entire loan. And indeed, if somebody would make such a claim, midaraisa, you don't have to make a shvua when somebody makes a claim like this. But midrabanan, a shvua is required under such circumstances. And we're referring here, according to those Rishonim, to shvua derabanan. Amle, Rava, so whatever pshat we learn, Rava at that point told the loiva, Imkain, if this is the case, and again, according to the Ran, which is the way we're going to learn the Gemara, if you're making a Moedim Amixis claim, if you're making a claim that you paid partially, Zil Ishtabale the Prati, so you have to make a Shvua. Also, so he went, Vaisa Kanyav Yav Zuzabagave, he took a hollow stick, as if that was his walking stick, and he put money into that stick, as much as he still owed. And he was coming to Bezdin, Amleila Malva, and he comes to Malva, and he asked the Malva, Nekoit haikona biyatcha, can you do me a favor? I have to hold the Sefer Torah, and please hold the kanya, hold the stick in your hand for me while I make the shvua. Nasu Sefer Torah. And here too, there's a discussion in the Rishonim. According to the Ran's pshat of our Gemara, that it was a moedim amitzis. So if it's a moedim amitzis, the halacha is that you have to make a shvua. And if you have to make a shvua, you have to a shvua deraisa. And when you need to make a shvua deraisa, you have nekitas chayfetz. You hold the person who has to make the shvua has to hold the Sefer Torah. But according to the Rishonim who we just quoted, who say that this was only a shvus drabonim, because he claimed that I didn't owe you anything. And if he claims that I don't owe you anything, the entire requirement of a shvua is only a shvua derabanan. So now we have a question. If it's a shvua derabanan, why is there nikitas chayfetz? So based on this question, some Rishonim say that even by a shvua derabanan, you hold a sefer Torah. But that is not the accepted halacha. So the Meiri is, and those that want to bring a raya, why is it not a raya? So the Meiri explains that he wasn't required to hold a Sefer Torah. But this was all part of his strategy. He's saying, I don't owe you anything. And even though I don't have to make a shvua holding Sefer Torah, I'm so prepared to make the shvua, even holding the Sefer Torah. We could also take it a step further. We could say that this was part of his strategy. In other words, he had here a strategy that he didn't want to have to, that he wanted to have the person, the Malva, hold the stick. So if he's not going to hold the Sefer Torah, why should the Malva have to hold the stick? He could hold the stick and make a shvua. But he wanted, as we're about to explain, have the Malva hold that stick with the money in it. And that's how it'll turn out that his shvua was a honest shvua. So he went and said, I'm going to be machmer myself. And I'm going to say that not only is this, since it's only a shvua deraisa, shvua derabanan, and for shvua derabanan, I really don't have to do nekitas chayfetz. I really don't have to hold on to the Sefer Torah. I will hold on to the Sefer Torah. But since I'm holding on to the Sefer Torah, can you please hold the stick? Amrei l'malva, he told the malva, Nekoit haikana biyatcha, please hold the stick while I make the shavua. Nakut Sefer Torah. And he took the Sefer Torah. Vishtaba, and at that point, he swore, the parakom madahav lebiyodei, he swore that he doesn't owe him anyway, anything. Vishtaba, hahu malva, says the Gemara, the malva was so upset, Rogas, he got upset. Vatavalu kanya, he was holding the stick and he broke it. He smashed it.
V'shtapach had an azuzah la'ara, and all the money fell out. V'shtakach, but it turns out the kushta ishtaba, that he said the truth. So we see that a person, when he uses words, there are ways of avoiding the shvua. So since they're making that the shvua should not be forced, that's why the halacha is, that's why the halacha is that Bezdin has to first announce, have yudeya shloy al datcha, it's not what you mean, it's what the halacha requires. So the Rishonim asked the question, yes, he asked him to hold the stick, but when he asked him to hold the stick, he didn't give him the stick as a payment. And since he didn't give him the stick as a payment, why is this considered that he didn't swear falsely? So the Rashba, because of this question, says that the shvur that he made was not that he shvur that he said that I paid you. The shvur that he made was that nosanloy, I gave you. And that is considered a payment. But Ritva disagrees. And Ritva says, we see from this Gemara that if you owe someone money and you pay him back, even though he's not aware that what you did was a payment, but if at the end of the day you had paid him, that's the halacha is that's considered a valid payment. But Tosfos asks that we're learning, that's the whole basis of this Gemara, that Bezdin, before you swear, says you should swear Adas Hamokav Adas Bezdin. That what Bezdin means, what in the Shua. And certainly Bezdin did not mean in the Shua that you gave him a stick with money in it. So why is the Shua considered a Shua's emes? So Tosfos answers that this person, very much in line with the way we've been explaining this whole episode, was very smart. Not only did he swear, and he did the strategy of asking the Malva to hold the stick, but he jumped and swore quickly before Bezdin could say Adatain of Adas Amok of Adas Bezdin. So therefore, it will be not considered that he swore improperly or swore falsely, because according to his interpretation, he swore properly. So the Ben Yoyada asks a question that the Gemara here calls this stick in this whole episode Kanya de Rava. So the question is, Rava certainly did not participate in any way in this terrible ruse. Why is it called on Rava's name? So he explains that the famous Gemara that Parasa Shrab Elazar ben Azariah, the Gemara Masechet Shabbos Daf Nun Dal Amud Beis, speaks about the cow that was owned by Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah that would go out on Shabbos with a string attached to its horns, and Chazal were dissatisfied with this behavior. And the Brisa in the Gemara over there explains, not Chas V'Sholem, that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would allow his animal to go out like that on Shabbos, but it was his neighbor's animal, but because he didn't say anything, it's called his animal. So says the Ben Yoyada, what do we see from here? That even though Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah didn't do anything wrong, it's counted on his name because he was somewhat connected. Says the Ben Yoyada, that's pshat in this Gemara as well. Of course, Rava had nothing to do with this episode. But even though Rava had nothing to do with this situation, there is no question that it happened in Rava's Bezdin. And Rava, as the leader of that Bezdin, should have been able, whether through figuring it out or with Siyata Deshmaya, that something like that shouldn't happen in his Bezdin. And if something like this did happen to Bezdin, it's a criticism. Of course, we have to be careful as we say that word, on Rava. Rav Tzadik has just the opposite approach to answer this question. Rav Tzadik says, this loiva thought that he had a great way of being able to do what he did. But in actuality, he did not really accomplish anything, because as we just learned in the Gemara, the Malva got upset, and because the Malva got upset, he broke the stick, and his entire strategy was discovered. Says Rav Tzadik, how did that happen? How did he have this? Who caused that he should be discovered and he shouldn't be able to get away with it. It was Rava. The siyata d'shmaya that Rava had caused that what he tried to get away with didn't work. Says the Gemara, haven't we found the people make a shvua according to the way they want to say the words mean? But Tanya, the Brisa teaches us, Moshe Rabbeinu made Klai Yisrael swear at Aris Moyev. Amalem, he told them, have a yudim, be aware. I'm not making you swear on what based on what you think. Ella al dati v'aldas hamakim. This that I'm making you swear is based on what I want and what Hashem wants. Shenema, as the pasuk says, v'lay itchem levatchem shemiyesh nepar v'she anikayos b'es loyzois. It's not with you, and it's with me. Says the Gemara. So Tosfos asks, what will the shvua help if Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned that they're not going to respect, that they're not going to follow the words of the Torah, chas v'shalom, they're going to worship Avodah Zarah. So what will the shvua help? So he says, so the Mashal explains that this shvua is for the Kabbalah HaTorah. And Kabbalah HaTorah, explains the Mashal, without shvua is not considered Kabbalah HaTorah. So what Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to accomplish, says the Mashal, is that we should have a sincere Kabbalah HaTorah. The sincere Kabbalah HaTorah is accomplished with a shvua. Another pshat that I saw is that even if people, unfortunately, violate Averis, there are certain things that people are very careful not to violate. And this is one of those things that they're careful to do, that they're not going to violate a shvua. Shvua are very important to people. The Shach in Yoruday is Simen Kuf Yates Sifches Sifkat Nechaf Aleph, and the Taz says a very interesting discussion. They say that a choshen al adover, if somebody is accused that he's not careful regarding a certain halachic matter, ain't a neman alav afil b'shvua. Somebody who we can't trust. In other words, let's say that somebody who's not careful about kashrus. So the halacha is, such an individual, we can't trust him, even if he says something's kosher, even if he's making a shvua about it. And the reason is, because every person, every one of us, is mujmu v'ayimim mahar sinai, that we're not going to violate what it says in the Torah. And if this person is not careful in this halacha, so that means he accepted with a shvua that he's not going to eat non-kosher food. And he's not respecting that shvua. So therefore, even if he makes a shvua that if this food is kosher, well, he already have experience that this person doesn't respect the shvua. So if that's the case, asked the Chazon Ish, the halacha should not just be, as we just learned, a choshen al dover, that if you're not trusted about a specific manner, if you're not careful in a specific halacha, ain't a nominal of a field, but sure, we can't trust you. But rather, ask the Chazon Ish, as soon as a person does an aveira, so he's showing that he doesn't care about the shvua. Because we made a shvua, all of us, that we're going to keep the Torah. And as soon as we violate any mitzvah in the Torah, then the halacha is that I shouldn't be trusted because I'm not careful about shvuas. So the Chazon Ish says that when we have the concept of mujmu v'ayimim mahar sinai, it's not to be understood that a real shvua, and therefore we'll have a question, as soon as I violate one mitzvah, I'm showing that I don't care about shvuas. Or, says the Chazon Ish, if that would be the case, as soon as somebody does an aveira, then he should be punished twice. One is for the actual aveira that he violated, and one is for the violation of the shvua. Rather, explains the Chazon Ish, the basis of the halacha of a choshen al adover, ein a nemen alav afil b'shvua, is that the Torah tells us that when a person comes into Bezdin, we should trust what he says. Says the Torah, when can we trust a person? When is a person able to be relied on is when the person is a person that cares about what he's saying. A person who cares about kashrus can be trusted when he said that this food is kosher. But if a person is not trusted regarding kashrus, he doesn't keep kashrus himself, then he can't be trusted as an aid. It's not because, says the Chazon Ish, because he's a person who violates shvuos. Because any person who doesn't keep any shvuah, any mitzvah, if we're going to take the concept of Moshe V'Oim V'Asinai literally, doesn't keep shvuos. But that's not the truth. Because Moshe V'Oim V'Asinai doesn't mean a real shvuah, which is not really what our Gemara is saying. But the Chazon Ish says that if you don't care about a certain mitzvah, that is a reason why you should, a mitzvah, aveira, why you lose that monis, why you lose your trustworthiness regarding that mitzvah. My amal Mashi Yisrael, what did Mashi say to Yisrael? Lav hach kamalu, wasn't he saying to them, dim avertam mili, you're going to behave in a certain manner, v'amartam, and when we'll speak about the shvuah, you'll say, al datenu, we made the shvuah according to our understanding, and therefore it's not considered a violation of the shvuah. Mishmachu amalahu, and that's why he said before they made the shvuah, al dati, that it's not what you think, Klai Yisrael, but it's what I think. Lafukimai, what was he trying to prevent? Lav lafukim, the sikus shmel avodazorim elokah, that they're going to call their avodazorah God, and when they're going to make a shvuah to that God, they don't mean Hashem, they mean the avodazorah Rachman Tzlan. What do we see from here? Mechlal, that people make shvuas based on their, what they can make the shvua based on their wording, and the only way to prevent that is by Bezdin making the statement. Loi, says the Gemara, a person can't just make up words and say that's what I meant. Here it's much more serious, because avodas kachavim ikra Eloha, we find in the Torah that avodas zara is called Eloha. The Ksiv, as the Pasuk says, b'chol Elohei Mitzrayim. So in other places, you can't just say, I use the word, and this is the definition of the word. Here, we see that the Torah uses the word Eloha when it speaks about Avodah Zarah, and therefore, if they would have claimed that that's what they meant, it would have been an acceptable claim. Says the Gemara, the Lizva Yasoin, so ask the Gemara, what should Moshe Rabban have done? That, so the Shita asks, to avoid this, why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu use the Shema Miyuchad, Yud Kei Vav Kei? And then they couldn't say that meant Avodah Zarah, because Avodah Zarah is never called Yud Kei Vav Kei. So the Shita answers, the Pasuk says, Zeh Shmi La'olam. But if we look at the Pasuk, the word La'olam is spelled without a Vav. Lamed Ayin Lamed Mem. Why? La'olam, when it's missing the Vav, means to be hidden. The Shem Hashem, the Shem of Mefirish, is not supposed to be publicly used, and that's why that wasn't an option. The other terrorist that the Shita suggests is because they called even their Avodah Zarah with the Shema Mefirish, so that wouldn't have been a good way to avoid the problem. But ask the Gemara, the Lishba Yasin, the Mekayim Mitzvahs, why does he make them make a shvuah that will fulfill all the mitzvahs? Says the Gemara again, because they would say mitzvahs means mitzvahs HaMelech, what the king tells them, not what Hashem told them. Says the Gemara, the Lishba Yasin, the Mekayim call mitzvahs, that he used the word kol. So even if they say that mitzvahs mean the, even if they'll try to say that mitzvahs mean the mitzvahs of the king, but by adding the word kol, by adding the word all, they also obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu was also including the mitzvahs of Hashem. Answers the Gemara, because they would have said it means tzitzis. Dama mar, shkula mitzvahs keneged, shkula mitzvahs keneged kol mitzvah shebetairah. The mitzvah tzitzis is equal to all the other mitzvahs of the Torah, and therefore they would have been able to say that we meant mitzvahs, we meant that we're going to keep the mitzvah tzitzis. So the chinuch, a mitzvah shin pei vav, explains why indeed is shkula mitzvah tzitzis connect kol mitzvah shel Torah, because he explains that when a person wears tzitzis, it serves as a reminder, why are we here in this world? Just like a servant wears a badge that shows that I'm a servant, or he wears a garment, which is the garment of a servant, so everybody knows that he's a servant. So too, when a person wears tzitzis, It's a constant reminder that he's an Eved Hashem. As the Pasuk says in the Parashah of Tzitzis, Uzuchartem es kol mitzvos Hashem. And that will serve as a constant reminder that he can't eat whatever he wants to eat. He can't wear whatever he wants to wear. He can't talk the way he wants to talk. He's an Eved of Hashem. And since he's an Eved of Hashem, he's obligated to do only what Kadosh Baruch Hu expects of him and wants of him. And in fact, that's the reason, I saw that the Mefarshim explain, when in the morning, when we put on our talis and our tefillin, we put on the talis first. Because our Gemara is showing us how important the mitzvah of tzitzis is, and that's why you should put on the tzitzis before you put on the tefillin. And furthermore, there's an interesting discussion in the Paiskin. If somebody has limited means, and he could buy tzitzis mudaris, beautiful tzitzis, or he could buy wonderful tefillin, what should he preferably buy, tzitzis or tefillin? And there are many that suggest that it's more important to buy tzitzis than tefillin. Because if you, of course, you have to have tefillin, you have to have tzitzis. But if you're going to buy, if you want to be makbid on nice, something nice, the halach is you should buy tzitzis. There are those that disagree. Because as we know, mi'ikar hadin, the mitzvah of tzitzis is only a mitzvah that if you're wearing a beged, if you're wearing a garment of four corners, you have to have tzitzis. But if you don't have such a garment, you're technically not obligated to wear tzitzis. Whereas, when we speak about tefillin, the Gemara Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph say, Eiz Pashi Yisrael Begufon, who is considered a person who is a Pashi Yisrael, Kakafta de Menelech Tefillin. So, furthermore, the Gemara says that in Masechta Menachos, Daf Mem Dalad, that somebody who doesn't wear tefillin is violating eight mitzvahs asay. Somebody who doesn't wear tzitzis is violating five mitzvahs asay. So therefore, there's an argument that could be made that he should wear the tefillin are more important than tzitzis. Perhaps a compromise position is that, of course, if somebody can't afford to buy both tzitzis and tefillin, he is obligated to buy tefillin before he buys tzitzis, for the reason that we just gave. We're obligated to tefillin is a mitzvah chiyuvis. Tzitzis is a mitzvah kiyumis. On the other hand, if Baruch Hashem, you have tzitzis and tefillin, and that in the entire discussion is which, you could only buy something which is mahadrin, one of them, then maybe the mahadrin should be on the tzitzis. Ask the Gemara, why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu say to them, when he made the shvua, V'lishba yasa the mekayim ton Torah, they'll fulfill the Torah, says the Gemara, because if they would have made the shvua that way, it would be mashma Torah achas, only Torah shebiksav. And of course, we know that we are all obligated to fulfill both Torah shebiksav and Torah shebalpeh. So says the Gemara, in order to avoid that problem, V'lishba yasa the mekayim ton Torah, which represents Torah shebiksav and Torah shebalpeh. Answers the Gemara, if you would have used those words, it maybe would have meant Mashma Taras Mincha Taras Chatas Taras Oshem. As the Pasuk says, Zois Taras HaMincha, Zois Taras HaChatas, Zois Taras Oshem. And they would be able to use that as an excuse that that's what they meant. Ask the Rabbi Lizbe Yasin, the Mekayman, Taras Umitzvahs. Says the Gemara, Taras would have meant Taras HaMincha, and Mitzvah, again, would have meant Mashma Mitzvahs HaMelech. They would do what the king said, but it's not connected to what Hashem said. So ask the Gemara, V'lishbe Yosem Nekayim Torah Kula. What, maybe the way he should have expressed the Shvua is that they're going to swear that they're going to keep the entire Torah. Says the Gemara, Torah Kula, when somebody uses those words, it's mashma avodas chavim. All it means is that they're not going to worship avodas zara. The Tanya, as the Brisa actually teaches us, chamura avodas chavim, avodas zara is so serious. Somebody who doesn't worship Avodah Zarah, it's as if he's filling the whole Torah. Based on the Pasuk, the Torah says, and the Gemara explains that if somebody who worships Avodah Zarah, Rahman Slan, it's considered as if he's violating all of the mitzvahs of the Torah. And on the other hand, if somebody, Baruch Hashem, keeps the Torah, it's as if it keeps, doesn't worship of a Zara, he's as if he keeps all the Torah. Says the Gemara, the Lishba Yasin, so why didn't he say the Shvu, the Mekayim Tam Avodas Kechavim, that they will be careful not to worship Avodah Zarah, the Torah Kula, and they'll keep the entire Kula. Inami, he could have expressly said, Sheish Moish, the Shalosh Mitzvahs Nokat, that you have to keep all Taryag Mitzvahs. Says the Gemara, this would have maybe been a valid Shvua. Ela Moshe Rabbeinu Mosel Deloit Tariqa Nokat. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to use wording that wasn't so complicated. Moshe Rabbeinu could have had that, he could have said that, but it's much simpler to say Adati Valdas Hamakoim than to say all of these different wording. Another teretz that Tosfos gives, another explanation that Tosfos gives, is that a neder in which a shvua, in which you use the words Aldas Hamakim, is a shvua that can't have Hataras Nedarim. So Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to have them express a shvua that there's no way to get out of. We learned in the Mishnah, if somebody said a shvua, Imla Reisi Nachash, if I haven't seen a snake, Kikaris Beis Abad, that's as wide as the as a beam, it's a not a void because nobody speaks that way. V'loy, says the Gemara, V'hu Chavya, the Havah B'Shnei Shvar Malka, there was a snake that was discovered in the time of Shvar Malka, Ramalei Telsa Avarsa, and the king took 13 horses, the Telsa Avarsa the Tivna, the amount the 13 horses could carry, or Balios, and they sweared. So we see that they could have such a huge snake. Answers the Gemara Mishmul, B'Tarif. He said that he spoke about a snake that was made out of different parts, and that is not by a snake. Ask the Gemara, that's not true. Kulin nechashi mitrif tarfi. Says the Gemara, all snakes look like they have cracks. Answers the Gemara, gab tarfi coming in. So he said that he saw this, and he's saying that he saw the cracks on its back. Says the Gemara, for listening, Tarif, says the Gemara, if that's what he meant to say, why didn't he say that he saw the Tarif, that he saw a snake this way, and that would have been the Nidra Havoi? Says the Gemara, Milsa Gav Urcha Kamashmon, because the Gemara wants to teach us the Kares Beis Agav, the beams, having them Tarif, they have indentation. Why do I have to know that? Says the Gemara, Lameka Chamemker, Loimer, somebody is selling somebody else this beam which they crush grapes, olives. If it has these cracks, then the halacha is, then the sale is a valid sale. But if I contract with you to sell me this type of a beam, and then it doesn't have any cracks, I could say that you did not fulfill your side of the bargain. Because you were supposed to supply me with a beam that's usable. And a beam that's usable has these cracks. And if it didn't have these cracks, then I could claim that the whole mekach is a mekach tos. At the beginning of our perek, when the Mishnah identified the various nedarim that are meaningless, we spoke about the nidrei's reason. Then we spoke about the nidrei havoi, that we just finished learning that sugya. And then we spoke about nidrei shkogas. So the Mishnah now illustrates what are nidrei shkogas. In Mechalti, if somebody makes a neder, if I ate today, or Vim Shasisi, or I drank today, and he says, this should be asur to me if I ate or drank, because he did not remember that he ate or drank. And then, Niska Shach V'Shasa, he remembers that he ate or drank. Or he makes a neder, Shani Oichel, Shani Shaisa. He said that this should be also to me if I will eat or will drink. And then he forgets that he's not allowed to eat and drink. And Shachach V'Ochel V'Shasa, he forgot himself that, and he eats or drinks. All of these cases are Nidrei Shkogas. And the Ran explains why do we give both of these examples. Because in the first case, when somebody made this nether, he had forgotten that he ate. And therefore, at the moment the neder was expressed, it was already a nidrei shkogas. In the next case, when he expressed the nether was a good nether. What happened was that when he came to eat or drink, he forgot that he's not allowed to eat or drink. So there, since when the nether was a valid nether, I would think that if afterwards you make a mistake, even though it's a legitimate mistake, it should not be considered a valid, it still be considered a valid nether, teaches us the Mishnah that it's still considered Nidrish Gogus. Next example of Nidrish Gogus. Somebody said, Omar, Kainim Ishti Nenesali, somebody said, my wife should be also to have any benefit from me, Shigonvas Kisi, because she stole my wallet, or Hixas Bini, she hit my son, V'noidish Laiksa, and then it turns out that she did not hit the son. And it turns out that she did not steal. If he had known that she had not stolen or she had not hit his son, he would have never made the nether. So here he finds out, he discovers that he made the nether on false pretenses, and the whole thing was a big mistake, and therefore the nether is not considered a valid nether. So here we learned that if somebody thinks that somebody stole from him and they didn't, then it's not considered an issue. But I saw the Cheshukei Chemed discusses the reverse situation. What is the halacha if somebody comes to someone to collect tzedakah, and the person is a person who he then discovers that the person who's collecting is a dishonest person, and even though he's saying that he's collecting for a certain yeshiva, he really is going to pocket the money for himself. So the halacha certainly explains the Cheshukei Chemed, is that this person does not have to be, the person does not have to give the money to the person who's a lawyer. But they have to give the money to the yeshiva. The people who were collecting said that they were collecting for yeshiva. So he doesn't give it to the person who's going to cheat, but you have to give it to the yeshiva. So he says that it depends. If he already wrote out a check to the yeshiva, so even though he should not certainly give the money to these people who we see now will not be giving the money to the yeshiva, but he wrote a check to the yeshiva, so it's considered as if he owes to keep that pledge, and he should send the check to the yeshiva. However, if he just made a verbal pledge that he's going to give money to the yeshiva, so as we keep on saying, he's certainly not obligated to give the money to these cheaters, but he doesn't have to give the money to the yeshiva either. I saw that he discusses another shaila, the Cheshukei Chemed. There was someone who was driving, and there was a terrible accident in which he hit a child. And because he felt so bad, he made a nether on the spot that he's going to learn Mishnayos, Gemara, whatever, for schus for that child. And then it turns out that that child was actually the child of a terrorist who was on the way to do something terrible. For him, he's not going to be learning, obviously, L'ilah Nishmasai. Is he obligated to keep that nether or not? So he quotes his brother-in-law, Rav Chaim Kanievsky Zatzal. Rav Chaim Kanievsky says that since since he took upon himself obligation to do a mitzvah, and this is a mitzvah, so therefore, since it's a mitzvah, the halacha is once you accept upon yourself that you're going to do a mitzvah, you're obligated to fulfill that obligation. Then he says a question, that there was a woman who somebody mentioned to her a shidduch that of a man who had sat in jail because he was a thief. And then while he was in jail, he became a Baal Tshuva, and now he's a proper functioning member of our community. Are we obligated to tell this girl that this person sat in jail because he was a thief? So he says, in general, even if somebody has an issue which we have to disclose, he says, under normal circumstances, it doesn't have to be disclosed before the man and woman meet. it could be disclosed by the third date. But the question is, what is the halacha in this case? Because he says that the halacha is the Ramah in Yerideya, Sivan Reish Mem, teaches us that a man is allowed to marry a woman even if his parents aren't satisfied. But the Paiskim say that that's only if this marriage won't cause shame to a father, to the parents. But if marrying this woman will cause shame to the family, then the halacha is one may not marry against his parents' wishes. So he says that certainly, he quotes his father-in-law, Rabbi Yashiv, who said that certainly someone sitting in prison, even though now Baruch Hashem, he's about tshuva, but still, sitting in prison is a terrible shame, and therefore, it's not like other issues. If somebody's not well, that's not called something to be ashamed about. And that's why, in that case, we could wait till the third date to notify the boy of the girl's issue, the girl of the boy's issue. But sitting in jail is called kolon. It's called something that's terrible. And that's the type of situation that has to be disclosed before they meet. Next case of Nidrish Gogus, says the Mishnah. Roy no son, oichlan ta'enim. He saw people eating his dates. Vama harei lechem karbon. So he wanted that they shouldn't be allowed to eat his dates. And he said that they're karbon. And then it turns out that those people were actually his family members. And there were other people there as well. So certainly, he did not mean his family. He has no interest in his family not being allowed to eat from them. So it's a nidrish shkagas. And the halacha, according to most Rishonim, is that the neder is completely null and void. Not only, obviously, vis-a-vis his family, but it's also null and void vis-a-vis the other people. Beshama Imrim Hematar Mashimon Nasurim, that only the family could eat, not the other people. Could we apply over here the concept of Nedar Shemiksa Hotam Miktsosoi Hotakulai according to Beisilil, and therefore it's a meaningless Nedar. There is a machlokes Rishonim. Do we say, according to Beisilil, Nedar Shotam Miktsosoi Hotakulai under all circumstances? Or do we say neder shotam miktsasa hotakuloi only when the neder is null and void because it's a nidre shkagis, like our Gemara? But let's say somebody is having his neder annulled because he has charata, so he only has charata on part of the neder, not on the entire neder. Do we say neder shotam miktsasa hotakuloi? Tana says the Brisa, shame shenidre shkagis matarim, just like we learned in our Mishnah that nidre shkagis are null and void, kach shvuah shkagas mataris are also null and void. And actually, the Gemara Masechta Shvuos Daf Chav Vav Mabeis teaches us that how do we know that nidre shkagas are null and void? Because the pasuk says ha'adam b'shvuah, and from that we learn that a person has to be ha'adam. He has to be aware of all of the circumstances when he makes a shvuah. And therefore, Shkagas, when he was not aware of all the situation, as we just gave various examples, then the halacha is that the shvuah is not a shvuah. So the question that the Rishonim ask is, the whole halacha of Shkagas not being valid, we learn from shvuahs. So what's the Mar saying, shame shenidre Shkagas mataram kach shvuah Shkagas mataris? It's the other way around. Because they don't apply by Shvu, they don't apply by Nedarim either. So the Rishonim explained, this Braisa is going back to the Mishnah. And since the Mishnah is teaching us that Nidre Shkagas are Mutaris, so when we were speaking about the Mishnah, we also mentioned that the Shvuas have a din like the Nedarim, even though the basis for Nedarim is from Shvuas. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggest is that, as we've been learning in our Masechta, we're much stricter with Shavuos than we are with Nedarim. And since we're much stricter with Shavuos than we are with Nedarim, there's a strong argument that could be made that a Shavuah should not be that way, that a Shavuah should not have the het of Shkaga. So we first say this simpler din, the din by Nedarim, and then we say the bigger chiddush, the chiddush by Shavuos. Another pshat that I saw is that we, in the previous sugya, we spoke about Nidre Havoy. And when we learned the sugya of Nidre Havoy, we learned that the heter of Nidre Havoy only applied by Nedarim, not by Shavuos. And that's why here, the Mishnah is saying that not only, the Brice is saying that although by Nidre Havoy, the heter is only in that case, by Shavuos, the heter applies both to Nedarim and to Shavuos. So says the Gemara, Ad Heichidami Shavuos Shkagas. So Taisus explains that yes, the Gemara said, when the Gemara is asking Heichidami Shavuos Shav, what's the example of Shavuos Shkagas, we could have said all of the examples what we just mentioned in the Mishnah. But Taisus explains that is not what the Gemara means to say. What the Gemara means to teach us is how far can we take the heter of Shavuos Shkagas. That's what the Gemara is trying to understand. Says the Gemara, going Rav Kana Rav Asi. Says the Gemara, the example will be the case of Rav Amir Rav Asi. Hadein Amar, they were having a dispute. One says, Shvasa de Hocham Rav. They were disputing, what did Rav say about a shear? And one of them said, this is what Rav said about a shear. V'chad Amar, Shvasa de Hocham Rav. And the other one said, that this is what Rav said the shear. Says the Gemara, the Kol Chad, Adata de Nafshei, each one of them, according to their understanding, Shapakam and Shtaber. And therefore, he thinks he's saying that they're saying an absolute correct Shvua. Teaches us the Mishnah that since both of them are aware that one of them must be saying something which is incorrect, because the two statements that they're saying cannot be correct, therefore, the halach is that the Shvua is still considered Shvua Shoga. Says Tosfos, what's pshat in this Gemara? One of them is saying something which is not true. And still, the Mishnah is saying that they're not going to be over for making a shvuah shav. The Ran disagrees. The Ran says the way these shvuahs were expressed, saying, he said, if my version of what my Rebbe said is incorrect, then I swear not to eat today. But not that they said, not that either of them said an outright lie. Says the Mishnah, we learned in the Mishnah Ra Isa, we saw a group of people eating dates, and he was his dates, and he was upset that they were eating his dates, and therefore he declares that they should be like a carbon, they should be also to be eaten. And then he sees that amongst those people were his father, his brothers. So the halacha is that that was a shkaga. He certainly didn't mean to prohibit his father or his brothers. And then we had the machlokes by Shimon by Hillel. How far is that nether null and void? Tanan Hasam, says the Gemara, we have a similar machlokes later in our Masechta on Daf Samach Vav. Somebody made a nether that he's not going to eat meat for 30 days. But he forgot that there's a mitzvah to eat meat on Shabbos. So says the Mishnah, we're going to learn. We tell the person, had you realized that by making this nether, you're not going to be allowed to eat meat on Shabbos or Yontif, when we are obligated to eat meat, would you have made the nether? The halacha is, originally they said, so now when he's matan neder, the chacham is matan neder, they said the halacha is that those days, Shabbos and Yontov, he'll be allowed to eat meat. The shakal yom, but the other days, not Shabbos Yontov, he'll be also to eat meat. At Shabbat Rabbi Kiva, until Rabbi Kiva came and said, neder shahuta miktsasa, Ned Huta Kula, and not only on Shabbos and Yontif, like Beis Hillel said in our Mishnah, and not only on Shabbos and Yontif will they be allowed to eat meat, this person will be allowed to eat meat, but all the days of the month he'll be allowed to eat meat. The Ran explains, what is the basis for Ned Shuta Miktsasa Huta Kula? It's based on the plasuk of Kechol Hayoitz Mipiv Yasa. You have to be able to fulfill the entire nether. And if you can't fulfill the entire nether, then it's not a nether. So Tosfos asks, why in the case, we know that Beis Hillel paskens, as we just explained, the nether shehuta miktsasa huta kula. If Beis Hillel paskens, the nether shehuta miktsasa huta kula, why did they say originally that he'll only be allowed to eat meat on Shabbos and Yom Tov, not in the other days? Didn't the Gemara just teach us, Beis Hillel just teach us, the neder hutam mitzasai hutakula? Says the Gemara, says Taisus Yisharim, a beautiful teretz. That in the case that we just quoted with the Shabbos and Yontif, it's not that the nether is automatically null and void. It's null and void because you had Ataras Nadarim by the Chacham. So that's why they thought that when do we say Neder Shota Mekzasa Huta Kulai? We only say Neder Shota Mekzasa Huta Kulai by a nether that is null and void, like the case of our Mishnah, Nidre Shkagis. But a nether which is not null and void by itself, a nether which becomes null and void because of our Taras Chachamim, there we won't say Neder Shota Mekzasa Huta Kulai. And that's why they said maybe their Beis Hillel would agree that the part that's still relevant is relevant, and you won't be allowed to eat meat on other days. Until they still taught us, and the way that we learned from the Rosh, that the Torah says the word kekol ayotz mipiv yasa, then in all nedarim, it's either all or nothing.